بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us opportunity to witness another month of Muharram and to be able to commemorate the tragic event of Karbala and gain, inshallah, energy and strength for continuing our journey towards Him. As individuals and as community, we have to gain a lot from these days and nights of Muharram. And I hope Allah gives me tawfiq to be able to do justice with this important issue, the issue of characteristics of community of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. I think Muharram would be the best time to address this issue, and inshallah with your du'as and with your inshallah contribution by comments and questions, whatever comes to your mind, inshallah we can as a community get involved and engaged with this important topic. Inshallah we will try to address every night one important aspect of community, and tonight I'm going to prepare the ground inshallah for the coming lectures. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He has sent for mankind many prophets. Some of them He has mentioned by name, some of them He has mentioned their stories in the Quran, but there are many that He has not mentioned them. Based on some hadith, we know that there have been 124,000 prophets. But whether we know them by names or we don't know, whether we know what they did, what they achieved, where did they live or not, it doesn't make any difference. We as believers have to believe in all of them. We don't make any discrimination against any prophet, and we have to have this commitment to respect and to follow the teachings of all the prophets. Among all these prophets, we have some who were in a very special rank, and those were messengers, those were apostles, those were rusul. 124,000 prophets, but 313 rasul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that although all the prophets came to help people with their spiritual struggle, to help them to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get rid of satanic temptations, but these rusul, these messengers, had also another task, additional task, and that was to help people establish social justice. لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. My understanding from this verse is that this is the mission of Rasul, not necessarily the mission of the prophets. Not that the prophets were not responsible for it, but this means that those who were given book, who were given Sharia, who were given a special message to help people to establish social justice, were those 313 Rasul. The prophets worked under the leadership of these Rusul. You know, sometimes there were even tens of prophets living at the same time. Especially in the time of Bani Israel, one of the favors of Allah upon Bani Israel was to give them lots of prophets. They had many, many prophets. Sometimes they had tens of prophets in the same locality. Whether they appreciate it or not, that's another issue. You know, in one of the sayings, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that that there was a time that some of them killed 70 prophets in early morning, and then after killing 70 prophets, they went back to their work, they opened their shops and they did their business as usual. Killing 70 prophets for them was not making them feeling anything, you know, bad. Quran says qatlihumul anbiya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send many prophets. Even as I said, for Bani Israel, Allah was very generous in many different ways. One was to send them many prophets at the same time, in the same locality. But these prophets were acting under the leadership of Rusul. And those were the people who had book or message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the prophets who came under them, they had to preach that, like ulama that we have today who preach the message which was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those rusul, Allah says laqad arsalna rusulana bil bayyinat, we sent our messengers with clear and manifest signs. Because before anything, they have to establish themselves. People would not be listening to them and following them unless they are 100% sure that they are sent by God. So first of all, they have to have some bayyanat, some miracles, some signs to prove that they are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, people, even after knowing that someone is sent by Allah, still they may not believe, because they want to run away from responsibilities. So Allah says we send them with bayyanat, but also they need some instructions, some guidelines. Wa anzalna ma'ahumul kitaba wal mizan, we also sent with them the book, al kitab, not al-kutub. In some discussions we had about the Quran, I mentioned that according to the Quran, we can understand that although we have different books, we have Torah, we have Injil, we have Quran, we have Suhuf Ibrahim, but they are all in reality representations of one book. Not that there are many different distinct books. These are different editions of one book. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said, جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالزُّبُرِ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ, not وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنِيرَ. Their messengers came with clear signs, with guidelines, and with the book which is enlightening or illuminating. Here also Allah says وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, not al-kutub. There is one book. This book is always updated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till Allah sent the Quran, which is the final edition of this book. وَالْمِيزَان, there are many discussions about what is mizan. What is this scale? Is it Sharia? Possibly. Is it more general? Is it a kind of a standard by which you can understand what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. So includes both fiqh and morality. It is possible. In any way, that mizan is something that must have practical implication. So Allah didn't just send theories. Allah sent the book and also something by which you can measure what is to be done, what is to be avoided. Why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people establish justice, social justice, equity. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, not لِيُقِيمُ الْقِسْطِ. They didn't come to establish social justice. They came to teach people and help people so that people get ready for establishing social justice. If prophets were supposed to establish social justice in a miraculous way, the first prophet could finish the job. Why this didn't happen? Because it was the responsibility of people. People should establish qist. People should establish justice in society, among each other. The prophets have come to help them, to guide them. But it is the responsibility of an-nas, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Okay, this shows that in addition to personal responsibility of improving ourselves, every person should try to become better and better, pious and more pious. We have a collective responsibility, a common responsibility to work towards establishment of qist, social justice, among ourselves. Unfortunately, so far this has not been achieved. All the prophets, all the messengers have come. Thousands of years have passed, but we have not achieved this social justice. And it seems that we cannot even say we have got close to it. Indeed, perhaps it's quite opposite. It seems that we are getting farther and farther from it. This is why in hadith about Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we have يَمْلَأُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا بَعْدَمَا مُلْأَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا or كَمَا مُلْأَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. So right before Imam comes and establish with the help of people that social justice, the earth would be filled with injustice. So it's not that 50%, 60%, even 40% of job is done. It seems that we have gone to the wrong direction. We have added to the volume of zulm on this earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this plan. If people were ready, if people were listening to the messengers, this could have happened at the time of the first messenger. This could have happened, for example, at the time of Prophet Nuh, Prophet Ibrahim. But people didn't wake up. Even people didn't help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to establish this. But this world would not finish without this being achieved. This must definitely take place. Otherwise, this world would not be completed. So this has to be established. But there is one important point. Although the messengers didn't have enough support from people to
to establish this. But at least they left clear message for people. They left people with guidance, with legacy, to know how to establish this. What happened in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, inshallah we will explain this more, was that Imam alayhi salam reached the point that he was worried that not only this justice is not going to be established, the whole idea of what is right, what is wrong is going to be missed. So that was much more dangerous than what happened in the rest of history. Muawiyah was not anyhow committed to establishing justice. Before Muawiyah, after Muawiyah, there were many people like this. But what was very exceptional in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was that Yazid was taking power and using power to force the Hujjah of Allah to endorse his new established kingdom in the name of Khilafah and totally confuse people. If in the time of Muawiyah there were at least some minority who would be still understanding what is just, what is unjust, if Imam Hussein alayhi salam was supporting Yazid and giving endorsement to Yazid, then nothing was even understandable. This is why Imam Hussein said, "Wa ala al-Islam as-salam idh qad buliyat al-ummah bira'in misl Yazid." Why Imam didn't say in the time of Muawiyah this? You know, Imam Hussein lived in the time of Muawiyah for 10 years. He 10 years somehow tolerated the Khilaf of Muawiyah. To offer his life was possible even in the time of Muawiyah. Why Imam didn't feel responsible to uprise against Muawiyah? Because in the time of Muawiyah, still people were able to understand what is right, what is wrong. People were able to understand that Imam Hussein is on one side and Muawiyah is on another side. Because Muawiyah didn't force Imam Hussein to support him and to endorse his government. Indeed, as you know, Muawiyah very clearly said to Yazid before his death that you must not force Hussein ibn Ali. Leave him. Don't force him to pay allegiance to you. But Yazid wanted, he was so naive and so arrogant and so proud of the power for which he had not done anything. He was so proud that he thought by putting pressure on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he could have very peaceful and, you know, very easy way of running this Khilafah for perhaps tens of years, not knowing that he is destroying himself by putting this pressure on Imam alayhi salam. So, throughout the history, humanity never achieved this social justice. But at least because of the hard work of the prophets and messengers, there were few people in each generation who had clear idea of what is supposed to be done. But in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this reached the point that there was worry that people would be totally confused. People were not able to understand what is Islam and what is un-Islamic. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, by giving his life, by giving everything valuable that he had, he tried to awaken people. Inshallah, we'll talk about it later. So, the general plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we want to explain tonight is to help people with the messengers in the first place, and then the prophets and guides in the second place, and ulama in the third place, to understand what is justice and how justice has to be achieved. This is very important for us, especially in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You hardly find any school of thought in which so much emphasis has been put on justice. Justice for us is present in every corner of our fiqh, of our akhlaq, even in our aqidah. Justice is one of our principles. We have five principles of aqidah. One of them is justice. Not only divine justice. Of course, we believe in divine justice, but this divine justice has to be echoed and reflected in human justice. In fiqh, we have emphasis on justice in many, many areas. Imam of Jama'ah must be just. Imam al-Jum'ah must be just. Witnesses must be just. Narrators of hadith must be just. Judge must be just. Marja must be just. Every big social responsibility needs justice as a requirement. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned for humanity two things that should work together, hand in hand. One is individual struggle for purifying ourselves, getting rid of our ego, and dedicating our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second, to work together to get rid of taghut and establishing justice on the earth, so that the people who are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can peacefully work together and collectively worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have opportunities for progress in this world and also salvation in the hereafter. So this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this plan, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had a historical role. I am giving you some clues. I don't have time into going into details. I'm sure you are, mashallah, very educated and very intelligent, and you understand everything, you know, perfectly. If you read the lives of the messengers in the Quran, you find that the Prophet Ibrahim, Nabiyyina wa Ali alayhi salam, had a very important role. He is one of the very special people. One of the five most outstanding messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The father of Tawheed. The one that today Jews, Christians, Muslims all belong. So if today there is a group of people which are actually more than half population of the world who believe in God in a monotheistic way, this is all partly because of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm saying partly because, of course, many other prophets contributed, but we are all in debt to Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa salam. This man who was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him as Khalil. وَاتَّقَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. This is not very, you know, ordinary position. It's very high position. He was so humble that he never looked at himself as a special person. I very much love this beautiful story about Prophet Ibrahim becoming Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a story that Prophet Ibrahim, because he had the habit of inviting guests to his house, he was very hospitable. You know, today also in all Abrahamic religions, in Judaism, Christianity, Islam, hospitality is very important. This is partly because of the Sunnah of Ibrahim. He was very hospitable. He was never afraid of guests coming to his house. Sometimes people, when they hear that guest is coming, they are worried. We don't have, you know, anything ready, or, you know, it takes time. But Ibrahim was never afraid of guests coming to his house. Indeed, when he had no guest, he was going outside and trying to find someone to invite to his house so that he can share his meal with him. So one day, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam went outside to find some guests. And as normal, he used to lock the door so that no one goes and disturbs his family. So the hadith says that one day, the Prophet Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alihi salam, when he was going back home, he saw a young man in his house. So he said, "Bi'idhna man dakhalta hadhihi ad-dar?" Who gave you permission to enter this house? He didn't shout at him. He didn't, you know, start fighting. Just ask question, who gave you permission? Even he didn't say, you don't have permission. He said, who gave you permission? So that person, which looked like a human being, but was not a human being, said, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّ هَذِهِ الدَّارِ, I entered with the permission of the Lord of this house, the owner of this house. The Prophet Ibrahim didn't say, I am the Lord of this house, it's registered in my name, you can check, you know, with my solicitor. No, he said, this must be an angel of God, because there are only angels who have connection to the Lord of this house. I'm not the Lord of this house. Then that angel told him, I have a mission. Please listen very carefully. He said, I have a mission. I have been sent to give the news to someone who has been chosen as Khalil, as a friend by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was me or you that the angel is found in our house and he says, I have come to give this good news, we would definitely thought that this is me. Why he has come to my house? Especially if you know that you are a prophet. And as you know, he became first Nabi, then he was Rasul, then he was Khalil. So he was already a Nabi and a messenger. And this angel in his house, but he never thought that it is himself. He never thought that I am worthy, I am qualified to become Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said something very important. He said, please tell me, who is the one who is chosen by Allah to be his Khalil so that I serve him till I die? Look at the humbleness of this man. So Tawheed, I think, is more obvious here than destroying the idols. Those external idols can be more easily broken than this internal one. He has definitely first destroyed the idols here. He didn't think that it is he himself. So this is the first point. Second, he volunteered to serve the friend of Allah. He didn't say, who is the friend of Allah so that we can have a meeting? I want to meet him. I want to teach him. No, he said, I want to serve him till end of my life. And compare this with Iblis. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is my Khalifa, not only my friend, my Khalifa. Because Khalifa is more than friend. Khalifa is my vicegerent. He's like my, you know, replacement, my substitute, my deputy. And just ask to do one sajda, not to do sajda till end of your life. Iblis said, I am better. Why I should do sajda for him? So Iblis was asked. Ibrahim volunteered. Iblis was asked for once. He volunteered for end of his life. So this is Ibrahim. Now imagine how farsighted was Ibrahim when he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of making Kaaba. Please listen carefully to the dua of Ibrahim and Ismail. In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَائِيلِ. In my understanding, this was not only building of Kaaba, this is indeed building of a community. I will explain how this is a beginning for establishing a community which starts from Mecca but should go all over the world. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَائِيلِ. Remember the time that Ibrahim and Ismail were raising the foundations of Kaaba. As you know, Kaaba was built before, but Kaaba was destroyed. So Allah asked Ibrahim and Ismail to restore Kaaba so that people can go there and worship without difficulty. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He said, O Allah, please accept this from us. Ibrahim and Ismail pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this is their humbleness. They were building the house of Allah according to the command of Allah, and still they are not sure whether this is going to be acceptable or not. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. O Allah, please make us submissive to you. It means that we don't think that we are submissive enough. They prayed, please make us Muslim. Please make us submissive to you. But is it enough to have few individuals who are submissive to Allah? No. Is it enough to have good individuals? No. We need to have good individuals and also a good community. We need to have, inshallah I will explain, rational individuals and rational community. We need to have balanced individuals and balanced community. We need to have peaceful individuals and peaceful community. There are many, many qualities that inshallah we'll talk, that we need to achieve them in two levels, as individuals and as community. Sometimes we have good individuals, but the community doesn't show those qualities. It is very wrong, but unfortunately this has been a common mistake, to think that if you have good individuals, you would definitely have good community. Is it wrong? They don't come automatically with each other. You can have a school with 1,000 Muslim students, with, I don't know, 20, 30 Muslim teachers, but maybe that school is not an Islamic school. You cannot say, because all the students and teachers are Muslim, so this is Islamic school. There can be an Islamic school with all teachers and students who are Muslims. You can have Islamic hospital, you can have an Islamic hospital, even if all are Muslims. You can have a town with Muslim inhabitants, which is the town of Kufr. Don't be, you know, deceived when you see everywhere is a sign of Islam or names of Muslims. You know, there can be an un-Islamic town with all Muslim inhabitants. There can be mosque which is not Islamic. There can be house which is not Islamic. It's not just a matter of individuals. It's a matter of individuals plus the relation between these individuals. Is this relation based on taqwa? Is this relation based on those qualities that Allah wants from a Muslim community or not? So Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to raise to the level of being Muslim for themselves, then they said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. Please also make from our progeny a community which is submissive to you. He didn't say وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ لَكْ. مِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. Please honor us by having a Muslim, a submissive community, nation among our progeny. This is very important and very wise prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. Please show us our rites, our rituals, and please accept our tawbah. Please return to us. And then they were very clever. They realized that achieving this needs a guide, a very high caliber guide. Therefore they said, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulan min anfusihim. Our Lord, please raise among our progeny not a teacher, not a scholar, not even a Nabi, Rasul. Because as we said, it is Rasul who can help people to establish social justice. رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسْهِمْ. Please raise among them a messenger, but a messenger who is also from them. So they were asking indeed the honor of receiving a messenger, and the second honor that that messenger is one of them. And then they said, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That messenger is going to teach them, to read for them your verses, your communications, to teach them the book and wisdom, and to purify them. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was building again Kaaba, was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor him by having among his progeny a messenger who would teach the rest of his progeny so that they can purify themselves, they can be given the book and wisdom, and finally they can establish a submissive community. Ummatan muslimatan lak. So everything that happened afterwards is realization of this dua of Ibrahim and Ismail. In three places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he actually sent that messenger. For example, in Surah Jumu'ah, in Surah Baqarah, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب. Everything happened as far as Allah is concerned. He provided us with that messenger. He started reciting the verses of Allah, teaching people the book and wisdom, purifying them. But what was the responsibility of people, which was liyaqum an nasu bil qist, has not yet been happening. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was foreseen by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, completed the job of giving us guidelines, instructions, anything that you need to know. We don't need any further guidance. Everything has been given to us by the Prophet ﷺ in his presentation of Quran and in his own sunnah. We have everything. What we need is to practice. What we need is to implement. Alhamdulillah, we have had many, many good individuals throughout the history. Today we are very honored to read the lives of our ulama, for example. How pious they were, how kind they were, how obedient they were. In the past, even today, in our own age, alhamdulillah, we have many good examples. Even among ordinary people, we have sometimes very pious people, very nice people, alhamdulillah. But what we lack, and I think, as far as I know, we have never had this in a considerable size, is to have a good community. We have always had, alhamdulillah, good individuals. But something that we can show to the people of the world, look, this is a town, forget a country. This is a town which we can say this is Islamic town. The way people build their houses, the way they work, the way they drive, the way the schools are run, the way neighbors interact with each other, the way they welcome visitors, the way they collect the rubbish, the way they consume, everything is Islamic. I don't think even we can say there has been a town which is Islamic. I don't think even we can say we have had a small town which has been running Islamically. Sometimes our brothers from other schools of Islam, when they talk about Medina of Rasulullah, Medina to Nabi, they speak as if it was ideal. But we know that according to Quran, even Medina was not perfectly Islamic. Inside Medina, there were lots of troublemakers, lots of problems. They indeed wanted to assassinate Rasulullah inside Medina. They wanted to build a place to mobilize enemies of Islam, as you know about Masjid Zara. Medina was not Islamically perfect. It was a beginning. We have never had any Islamic town, any Islamic community. And I believe, inshallah, we will explain this more, if we manage to establish one Muslim community in the way that Allah is pleased with, that would be welcomed by all humanity, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. When you talk to people about pious people, if you talk, for example, to people about, I don't know, Allamiya Bahrul Ulum or Muqaddasa Ardabili, you see everyone loves them. But if you show people a community which is Islamic, not only they love, I think they are ready to give their life to see that. If we manage to establish a community, no matter how many, it can be few millions, it can be few hundreds. If you have an Islamic community that everything is according to Islam, then you would see many, many people would love to join and become part of it. Unfortunately, so far, I don't think we have been successful. Maybe to some percentage, yes, but not something we can say Islamically is verified. We don't have it. Inshallah, this is what we have to learn and we have to achieve. And before we achieve this, I don't think Imam Mahdi Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif would be coming. So, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in coming nights, we will try to see what are the major characteristics that we should achieve and how can, inshallah, we work together to make, inshallah, our community a community that can nominate itself for, inshallah, being that Islamic community. One of the things that we find about Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that even before his martyrdom, he was mourned for. The news of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein was released before his martyrdom. Even before his birth, many people knew and mourned for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I want to just share a few hadiths. Of course, there are many hadiths about the prophets, about from the time of Prophet Adam up to the Prophet Islam. I am just mentioning few about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he informed Lady Umm Salama. According to Ibn Dawood, according to Dawood, he says, Lady Umm Salama said, دخل الحسين على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, because it's the narrator is Sunni, so they don't say وَآلِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, they say فَفَزَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Lady Umm Salama, you know, she was very pious lady, she is very much respected by Ahlul Bayt. She says that Imam Hussein entered and Rasulullah started feeling very, you know, painful, like screaming. فَقَالَتْ أُمُّ سَلَمَةَ مَا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what has happened to you, Messenger of Allah? قَالَ إِنَّ جِبْرَئِيلَ أَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا يُقْتَلْ, Jibreel has informed me that my son Hussein is going to be killed. وَأَنَّهُ اشْتَدَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَقْتُلُهُ, and the anger of Allah, the wrath of Allah is very strong with respect the one who is going to kill. It's not normal crime. In another hadith, Lady Umm Salama says, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ نَائِمًا فِي بَيْتِي, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping in my house. فَجَاءَ الْحُسَيْنِ, Imam Hussein, who was a child, came. Lady Umm Salama was worried that Rasulullah is sleeping, so if Imam Hussein goes to visit Rasulullah, may disturb Rasulullah. قَالَتْ فَقَصَدَ الْبَابِ, Hussein wanted to enter the room that the Prophet was there, so he went towards the door. فَسَبِقْتُهُ عَلَى الْبَابِ, I preceded so that I don't let Hussein enter the room of Rasulullah. مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يَدْخُلْ فَيُوْقِذَهُ, I was worried that he may enter and awaked Rasulullah. قَالَتْ ثُمَّ قَفِلْتُ فِي شَيْءٍ, I was busy with something, then I was not paying attention. فَدَبَّ فَدَخَلَ, then Hussein came and entered. فَقَعَدَ عَلَى بَطْنِهِ, then Hussein went and sat on the stomach of the Prophet. قَالَتْ فَسَمِعْتُ النَّحِيبَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I saw Rasulullah is crying. She was thinking that maybe Hussein has annoyed Rasulullah, but said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallah, Ma Alimtu Bi, by Allah, I didn't know Hussein is coming. But Rasulullah said, no, this is not the reason. إِنَّمَا جَاءَنِي جَبْرَائِيلُ وَهُوَ عَلَى بَطْنِي قَاعِدُ, when Hussein was sitting on my stomach, Jibreel came to me. فَقَالَ لِي أَتُحِبُّهُ, do you love him? فَقُلْتُ نَعَمْ, I said, of course. قَالَ إِنَّ أُمَّتَكَ سَتَقْتُلُهُ, your own ummah, this is making it more painful, not enemies, not kuffar, your own ummah are going to kill him. أَلَا أُرِيَكَ التُّرْبَةَ الَّتِي يُقْتَلُ بِهَا, Jibreel said, shall I show you the soil of the land in which Hussein is going to be killed? فَقُلْتُ بَلَى, I said, yes. فَضَرَبَ بِجِنَاحِهِ فَأَتَى بِهَذِهِ التُّرْبَةِ With a quick movement, Jibra'il brought the soil of Karbala. قَالَتْ فَإِذَا فِي يَدِهِ تُرْبَةٌ حَمْرَاءِ Then Lady Umm Salam says, in the hand of Rasulullah was a red soil. وَهُوَ يَبْكِي And Rasulullah was crying. وَيَقُولْ يَا لَيْتَ شِعْرِي مَنْ يَقْتُلُكَ بَعْدِي I wish I knew who is going to kill you, O Hussein. In another hadith, Lady Umm Salam says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night woke up from his sleep and he was in a very special condition. Then he went back to sleep, again he woke up. And this repeated, and I saw in his hand is a red soil, yuqabbiluha, he was kissing that soil. فَقُلْتُ مَا هَذِهِ التُّرْبَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is this soil, O Messenger of Allah? قَالَ أَخْبَرَنِي جِبْرَائِيلَ أَنَّ هَذَا يُقْتَلُ بِأَرْضِ الْإِرَاقِ لِلْحُسَيْنِ Referring to Hussein, said, Jibra'il has informed me that Hussein is going to be killed in the land of Iraq. فَقُلْتُ لِجِبْرَائِيلَ أَرِنِي تُرْبَةَ الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي يُقْتَلُ بِهَا فَهَذِهِ تُرْبَتُهَا I told Ibrahim, please show me the soil of that land that Hussein is going to be killed, and this is the soil. And there are many other hadiths, and these are all from our Sunni brothers' books. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed many people, including Lady Umm Salama, and according to some hadiths, even gave the lady a bottle with some soil and said, when you see that this is turned into blood, then that is the time that Imam Hussein is killed. I want to read quickly a poem and I translate, and this is a review of all the tragedies that happened in Karbala, and inshallah later in coming nights we will explain them in more details. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwahi allati allat bifnaik عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بغيت وبغي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين سلام من بمحرم محرم قل زهراء I offer my greetings to the months of Muharram, the months of the flower of Lady Fatima. Bilat mihay malaik, bimatam gul zahra. I offer my salam to the months in which angels lament for Hussein, the flower of Zahra. Salam man be Muharram, be Teshnegi Ajeebash. I say my salam to the months of Muharram and to the estranged thirst of Hussein in these months of Muharram. سلام من به محرم به قصه و غم مهدی. I say my salam to Muharram, the month of tragedy for Imam Zaman, whose heart is full of pain and grief. به چشم کاسه خون و به شال ماتم مهدی. I say my salam to the eyes of Mahdi, who is full of tears and blood, and to his dress of aza for Husayn. سلام من به محرم به حال خسته زینب. I say my salam to the month of Muharram and to tired lady زینب. به بی نهایت داغ دل شکسته زینب. And to the unlimited grief in the broken heart of Zainab. سلام من به محرم به دست و مشق ابوالفضل. I say my salam to محرم and to the hand of ابوالفضل. به ناامیدی سقا به سوز عشق ابوالفضل. I say my salam to ابوالفضل العباس, especially at the time that he lost his hope. He realized that he cannot take water to the children of Hussein. سلام من به محرم به قد و قامت اکبر. به کام خشک از آن گوی زیر نیزه و خنجر. I say my salam to محرم, especially when I remember the beautiful Ali Akbar, when his body was covered by swords and spears. سلام من به محرم و دست و بازوی قاسم. به شوق شهد شهادت حنای گیسوی قاسم. I say my salam to the month of Muharram when I remember beautiful Qasim, who was yearning for martyrdom. سلام من به محرم به گاواره اصغر. به عشق خجلت شاه و گلوی پاره اصغر. I say my salam to Muharram when I think about the cradle of Ali Asghar, when I think about the tears of Imam Hussein when he felt embarrassed that he could not give water to his baby. سلام من بر محرم و به اضطراب سکینه. به آن ملیک که رویش ندید چشم مدینه. I say my salam to محرم and to the worries of Lady Sukaina, that princess that wanted to return Medina but she couldn't go back to Medina with her father. سلام من به محرم به عاشقی زهیرش. به بازگشتن حر و عروج ختم به خیرش. I say my salam to the month of Muharram in which Zuhair proved his love for Hussein, in which Urr ibn Yazid returned to Allah and ended his life with good end. سلام من به محرم به مسلم و به حبیبش به روس پیدی جون و بوی عطر عجیبش I say my salam to Muharram, to Muslim, to Habib ibn Muzahir, and to the slave of Hussein Jun and his beautiful fragrance. Salam man be Muharram, be Zang Mahmil Zainab. به پاره پاره تن بی سر مقابل زینب I say my salam to Muharram when Lady Zainab was being taken from Karbala towards Kufa and she was sitting in front of her dead of Hussein without body سلام من به محرم به شورال عیانش سلام من به حسین و به عشق سین زنانش I say my salam to محرم and to حسین and to the tears of those who mourn for حسین ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منغلب ينغلبون نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم وبالقرآن المستحكم وبفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله